Blog Talk Radio.
Shout out to Adrian Adonis. Yeah. This ain't no video game. Yeah. This life will only give you 1 year. That's where my brothers, we are locked up in a brutal scene.
Damn.
Fuck underground, I'm thunderbound. Damn. So point the arrow now. Damn. I built the pyramids and rose the sun. So call me Pharaoh now.
Rabbit
that's just some food for thought. So take it like a protein.
Yeah.
I live in places that's so anti-black and pro-green. Money
Damn.
Over Africans, but we ain't really Africans.
African.
Divide us like we fractions, so we won't reclaim our past again.
God
so tell your fucking pastor, Robin Master, take a class again.
Yeah.
Cause I'm gonna show these people there's no need for you to ask a man.
Nah.
Just get up on your knees and talk to God. Don't worry about your sin. I'm telling you the truth, my words, my bond, and I can vouch for him. This light up in the tunnel, can't you see it? Use your glasses, damn. I'm tired of all my people. See, that's niggas with no action plan.
And I didn't choose to rap, it just fell into a backup plan.
So let it go so he can show you how he's built a master plan.
Yeah.
I rise with the sun.
All right. Let's cut that intro short. And before we, well, let me go into the intro. All right. What's going on, everybody? This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. I want to thank everybody so much for joining me on today's show. Today is, what is today? Yeah, that's right, Friday. Today is Friday, March the 31st, 2017. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. And as always, my brothers, and always my sisters, we have another important show scheduled for you today. Before we get started, I want to double check and make sure that you guys can hear me okay. So I got my beautiful wife tuning in today. Babe, so I unmuted your phone. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Don't be scared. Speak up. Say it with your chest.
I'm at work.
All right, baby. Well, thank you so much for that. I'm going to put you back on mute. Love you, baby.
Love you, too.
So I just want to check in with the wife. I can tell I caught her off guard there. Sorry about that, baby. But she just let me know that I want to double check to make sure that the audio was working. Because as you guys know, especially anybody that tuned in on yesterday's show, man, I don't know what happened yesterday. The audio was really bad. It was really choppy. So thankfully we was able to switch over to the other network, my other venue, and utilize that to finish up the show. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, I want to switch gears just a little bit, talking about, you know, not really religion, but, you know, we've been doing with these, talking about negative habit patterns, talking about core imprints. We've been really, really spending a lot of time talking about how to overcome, you know, our limiting beliefs. And that's good. That's important. You know, you gotta deal with that stuff because that prohibits you from moving forward. But, man, I'm so glad to be past that because it's kind of doom and gloom when you really think about it because, man, a lot of people have a lot of problems. We have or we create our own hells. You know, your brain is a dangerous thing. Your brain can create a heaven out of hell and a hell out of heaven. The brain is a dangerous thing. And so we need to create win-win situations. I've determined in my life, I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, man, I don't know. I can't do this no more. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. I got to stop saying it. I ain't sorry. Hell no. I ain't sorry. I am not creating drama for my wife, for my children. I'm not dealing with crazy. I'm not doing stupid. Now, if stupid show up at my door and calls me outside, I ain't running. Don't get it twisted. Now, if stupid shows up, we're going to deal with stupid. But until it shows up, man, I'm taking all of my energy out of stupid. I am begging you to do the same thing. None of us know how much time we have left on this planet. I am not going to waste my time and my life dealing with stupid. Life is too short. None of us know when our ticket is going to be punched. And we walking around angry, and we should not be. And I say should not be because of the skill set that you have been given. Now, most of the people that tune into these blog talk shows are what I would call clarinomic veterans. Now, we got a few newbies. There's Brother Daniel, you know, he's a new cat. Jay Money's kind of, he's kind of new. Who else is kind of new? Dr. Arlene, you know, she's kind of new. Like Chantel been around a long time. Asia been around. CJ been around. So, I mean, most of you guys have been around for a while. Sister Seda's, man, she's kind of new. Sister Ellen been hanging tough. Shout out to Sister Ellen, man. Sister Ellen always, like, man, every time there's something going on, Sister Ellen, I appreciate you. I still remember when you sent my wife that care package when she was dealing with high blood pressure and working through that. So me and my wife both send you a shout out. Thank you so much, Sister Ellen, for always being in and supporting me from afar by tuning in and listening to these shows. Today, I just, was so thankful after last night's show. And then I go to YouTube and I see these crazy, just a couple of crazy responses. People say, oh, that dude, he just a mason. I mean, that's the first thing people say. Dude don't even know me. All he saw is Master Teacher 33. And he goes on there and starts blasting, saying a bunch of crazy stuff. Now, the old me, man, my old ego, oh, man. The old me, y'all, man, ooh. I thank God I finally buried that fool. It's like a weight has been taken off my shoulders. I can't even begin to explain it. Like, I woke up this morning at 5 o'clock, dropped my wife out, went to the gym, came home and was wide awake. I didn't even sleep last night. So this is like the third or fourth day that I've gotten maybe 1 or 2 hours of sleep. Why? Man, I'm happy as a lark. Like my wife's father always say, how'd you go, babe? I'm happy as a lizard on a hot rock. Now, why am I happy? Has there been any major change? Nah, no major changes at all. Just a change in my mindset, my reality. And so now my change is this powerful principle that resolution occurs not by attacking the negative, but by fostering the positive. Now, I've known this almost since birth, but my problem was I had a couple of bumps in the road, so, life, somebody had to pay, brother. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry, but, hey, I got beat as a kid. Somebody need to pay for that. I don't give a damn who, but somebody got to pay for my pain. So, since I'm not happy, nobody going to be happy. So, I live my life spreading misery. Now, that wasn't a conscious decision, but that subconscious demon that was hiding underneath my conscious and my subconscious brain, this unconscious energy, this entity, that if you looked at me and said, hey, good morning, what's so damn good about it, brother? Well, meet me out in the parking lot, we can settle it. I wanted to fight. Y'all don't understand. I had the wish a Negro would mentality. I remember I used to go to the movies and say, please, I want somebody to sit in my face. I want somebody. I would walk through a club and I would want somebody to bump my shoulders. I mean, I would go jogging. I would just, man, please, somebody ride by me and try to throw something on me. I'd be driving in my car and I wanted road rage. I would get up on people's bumpers. My wife would probably say I still do. I would ride on somebody's bumpers like I was when I was a cop. And I say, please slam on your brakes. Please do something, anything to give me a reason. I just need a reason. I just need a reason because I still had a little bit of consciousness. So, I needed to be justified to open up a can of whoop-ow on somebody. I just can't go open it up. And I'm a little dude. I probably got my aspirators whooped. But you couldn't tell me that. I was angry. Y'all don't even know. I was angry, man. But the question is, why the hell was I so damn angry? I was angry because everybody else was happy. It's crazy. I was angry because everybody else was happy. And so I've been living my life, man, like, man, hey, that old saying, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Well, I was like, hey, but the wheel ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. So I'm like, somebody got to pay for my pain. Damn it, somebody's going to pay. That's how I lived. And then I went out causing and hurting people for nothing. But this last go-round, something clicked. Something clicked in this last go-round. And I thank God, better late than never. See, I'm an old dude. I was talking with a client earlier. As a matter of fact, I was talking with Brother Rome. And I was sharing with Brother Rome how much, older I am than a lot of folks. And even with, sharing with my wife last night, I was telling her the same thing. One thing about age, I was talking with Dr. Spann, and, she's about this as well. When you get a little older, you don't know more. So you just got more experiences. You got more flaws. You just got more failures. So you know what not to do. You may not know what to do, but you see somebody driving down the road. You say, oh, time out, dog. I've been down that road already. Now, they probably going to be like me. They ain't going to listen, but you can at least tell them. So this road I've been down is the road of failure. Failure after failure after failure after failure after failure after failure. Because as a perfectionist, I made sure that I hid behind my perfection, and I projected that out to other people. And my expectations were unrealistic. That's how I know about this stuff. I didn't read it in no book. I lived it. And so I like, man, you know what? I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to create win-win situations. I want to win. You want to win. Now, I learned this in real estate. And I remember my real estate, this dude named Dave Delgado, Tom Boo, Wade Cook, Joe Land. Those were my real estate gurus. And they used to tell me, boy, they were all Caucasian gentlemen, except for Tom Boo. And I didn't mind. You can call me monkey. As long as you was teaching me something, I didn't give a beep. I could learn from anybody. And they took me under their shoulders. They always make sure that the other party wins and that you win too. See, when you win and the other person wins, instead of one person being happy and the other person being pissed off, everybody's happy, as they say in the hood. Everybody's happy. Now, that's the kind of relationship I want to be in. That's the kind of business I want to run. That's the kind of situations I want to create. I want to create win-win situations for everybody where everybody's happy. Now, that's easy to say, but that's a tall order. That's difficult to do. It is difficult to create. It's not really difficult, actually. It just requires a different mindset. Number one, how do you create win-win situations? So that way everybody is happy and the relationship gets stronger and stronger, whether we're talking business, whether we're talking physical fitness and health, whether we're talking wisdom and spirituality, or whether we're talking a relationship, personal relationship. Number one, to create a win-win situation is you got to take your emotions out of the equation. Now, brothers and sisters, I used to say just take the negative emotion out of the equation. Now, I'm saying now take all of the emotion out of the equation. Because you can't trust your emotions. Them suckers here today, gone tomorrow. Your emotions out of the equation. That's the only way to create a win-win situation. Now, what do I mean by that? You should be asking that question. Brother Will, how do you live a life with no emotion? I said take your emotions out of the equation, not the situation. Come on, somebody. I'm not going to preach today because, Brother J. Money's listening. And, J. Money don't like it when I be preaching, y'all. He said, Doc, you're a good dude and everything, but all that yelling and screaming, homie, you got to leave that at the door. So out of respect for Brother Jasper, no yelling today. I ain't going to turn over no chairs. I ain't going to speak in tongues. I ain't gonna shout. I'm just gonna give it to you straight. That cool? Brothers and sisters, I'm excited because God's getting ready to do a new thing. I just said I wasn't gonna preach, didn't I? Okay. The universe is getting ready to do a new thing. Let me break something down for you. Let's break down this first thing. Now, a situation. We have a situation. Now, everybody goes through life, and life creates situations. You could call them events. I mean, when I was in insurance, we were taught to rank life events by risk category based upon the law of large numbers, and that's how we determine the amount of premium. So if a life event, having a baby, what risk is involved with having a baby? Then that would affect the policy premium. Another life event, getting married. What risk? Now, having a baby for the woman, high risk. For the male, low risk. Woman's life insurance goes up. Male life insurance goes down. Getting married, no risk, low risk. Premium goes down, both parties. Moving, premium goes up. Minimal risk. That's not zero risk. There's some risk. You can lose your stuff. You know, hey, there's a lot of furniture, blah, blah, blah. So life events are situations. So a situation, brothers and sisters, is a position. It's the state of affairs. It is something that is considered significant. Something that is significant, but more importantly, a situation is a state, as in mental disposition. Booyah! A situation is also your mental state of affairs, or lack thereof. A situation, again, could also be a physical place. A situation is an event, a life event. Now, an event is something that happens. It's an occurrence. Now, this is important. An event, because remember, keep the emotion in the event. It's okay. But take the emotion out of the equation. That's what I do. Attach to the goal. I'm sorry. Detach from the goal, attach to the role. Take your emotion out of the goal, brother. Take your emotion out of the goal, sister. Put your emotion in the role, or keep your emotion in the role. So go be the best father and the best husband, the best child of God, the best brother. The goal is to have toe-curling relationships with everybody I know. That's the goal. But the role is the step-by-step, the things that I do every day that takes me in the direction of my goal. I cannot be emotionally attached to my goal. If I am emotionally attached to my goal and I don't get it, I'm on the bridge, 10 o'clock news, short black man, get ready to jump. You cannot, brothers and sisters, you can, but if you want to create a win-win situation, if I want to win and I want you to win, the only way to do that, brothers and sisters, is to take your emotion out of the equation, which is the goal. And, or should I say take your emotions out of the equation, but you can keep your emotions in the situation. So situations where win-win solutions don't happen, those are situations where the interest is placed so heavily on the goal that people forget the role. So if my all of my emotions is on the goal of my wife doing what I told her to do. Dab, nam it. Woman, I need my meal cooked at 6 o'clock. That's my goal in life. I want to eat every day at 6. Instead of being attached to the role of eating every day at 6. The role is the things I must do to eat every day at 6. Or the things that my wife must do. So if I'm attached to that, that's going to tell me there's no food in the house. It's 5:30. And you expect your wife to cook and have food ready by 6. And if she don't get off till 5 and don't get home till 5:30, maybe you take your black behind to the store and get the food. Put it there. Maybe you warm the water up. Maybe you do some things to assist. So that way both parties can win. I help the wife. The wife cooks the food. I eat at 6. The wife is happy because she didn't have to go to the store. She didn't have to boil the water. She didn't have to put the noodles in the water. She just had to maybe put the meat on and now add the sauce. And, you know, hey, I at least turned on the oven, preheated the oven. Let's say we eating spaghetti and French bread. Now, I know that my wife gets off at 5 o'clock. I also know I like to eat at 6. So my goal in life is to eat at 6. But I'm just going to sit at home and watch TV. Knowing that as soon as she walk in the door at 5:30, my expectations, I'm getting ready to go off. She comes in, hey, babe, how's your day? All right. What time dinner going to be ready? Oh, honey, I just got home. Yeah, I know. So, honey, can I be like, well, you know, what you going to cook? Well, I don't know. Well, you should have thought about that before you. I'm ready to go off. Why? Unrealistic expectations. I'm expecting something to happen that ain't gonna happen, homie. Because if you just look at the logic of my thinking, that's not creating a win-win situation. Now I'm trying to think of an example that nobody think I'm talking about them, but brothers and sisters, this is a really, really, because this is a big one. Step one out of the 3 steps to create a win-win situation, so that way everybody's happy. All of the arguments are gone. Now, I know Dr. Arlene, she could probably speak on the Dr. Span could probably speak on this a little better than me. Because I was talking with her, Dr. Arlene. I know she don't mind because she laid back. She don't get mad at nobody. I don't know how she do it, but I'm going to try to get Dr. Arlene. You know what my goal in life is? I want to see you mad, upset. I want to see you curse somebody out. Now, I'm just playing, Doc. But I was talking with Dr. Span, and, you know, her and her husband, they have this now. Her husband looked like a big teddy bear. He got that vibe. You know, he just like a real cool dude. And she don't do, we was doing a one-on-one, and I say, give me an example when last time you got upset. She's like, I got to get back with you on that. That's my homework. Like, what do you mean? I got a book. You know, I can bring my wife on here, and she'll tell you, man, that fool's upset every day. Dr. Span is like, when the last time you and your husband had a knockdown, drag out fight and you slept on the sofa or he got up and slept on the sofa? Oh, no, brother, no, no. She said no about 10 times. Oh, no, no, brother, no. No, we don't do that. Mm-mm, not in our house. What? Everybody do that. We don't. So let me get this right. So y'all they create, I don't know how they create, Dr. Span, you got to write the book. That should be your first book, Dr. Span. How to create win-win situations. Because me and everybody else want to know. Because a lot of people have a lot of problems. Now, I've learned this the hard way. Some people have implemented this the God way. Now, doing it God's way is better than doing it the hard way. I learned by omission, meaning that, okay, I've done so many things wrong. The things that's left out, okay, that got to be right. So I tried it, and guess what? Ding, 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 it worked. So I stopped wearing my emotions on my shoulders. Now, I'm a work in progress, but when I want to win, now what I do is I say to myself, what can I do to help the situation manifest? I remove out of the situation I remove out of the goal all of the anxiety. I detach all of my emotion from the goal. That way, if the goal doesn't manifest, now, this is a tricky situation. Because people say, well, brother, well, I thought you said you got to make a concrete decision, brother. You got to burn all your bridges, man. You got to sell out, dude. You got to do all of this stuff. Absolutely. In other words, don't accept nothing but the goal. But to ensure that the goal manifests, put all your energy into the role. Let me make sure you understand. Number one, to create a win-win situation, take your energy out of the goal. Set the goal. Be passionate about the goal. The goal stands on itself. You know the goal stands on itself? Because the goal is your niche. The goal is what you are designed and gifted by God to do. I don't need no emotion when it comes to me being wealthy and making money. None. I don't need nobody to pump me up. Nobody got to call me in the morning. Nobody got a moment. Come on, Brother Will. Nobody got to beat me to make me take money. If you walk up to me and tell me, Brother Will, I'm going to give you $100, you ain't got to convince me. You ain't got to talk. All you got to do is sign the check. You don't have to do nothing to motivate me. I'm highly motivated when it comes to wealth, health, wisdom, and a good relationship. So there is no emotion needed. Is what I'm trying to say. So you have misdirected energy. That's the devil's job. The enemy is not trying to take your job. Trying to take your energy, brother. He wants you to misapply it. He knows that you got energy, so he's cool. He said, okay, put all your energy. So every day you just focus on your goal. My goal in life is I want to be wealthy. Okay, how are you going to be wealthy? I don't know. I want to be wealthy. And then the universe listens to you. And the universe says, hey, he wants to be wealthy. So the universe sends somebody like me into your life, and I'm going to give you my 30 steps in 30 days program that tells you step by step by step what to do. In fact, I just posted a video on Facebook today that tells you step by step by step how to write a book in 7 days. I tell you how to read. I just posted on Facebook how to read a book. 5 books a week by listening to them. So I put the web page up there that shows you that you can upload any book to this web page. So that way, while you're driving, guess what you're doing? You're reading. So all of my books, y'all want to read all of my books really fast? Guess how you can read all of my books? Just take it, highlight it, upload it. And guess what it does? Reads the book for you. Greatest thing since sliced bread. It makes it, again, using technology. Number two. Remember, brothers and sisters, number one, you got emotion. The enemy knows that, so he's going to use it against you. So since you know his job is to use your energy against you, take it away from him. Come on, sis. Stop making it easy. Man, if the devil's going to take me out, that fool's going to fight. He's going to be like, damn, I ain't going to know, Brother Will, that minute. I'm going to mess with somebody else. It's too hard for him, man. It's like, we gotta send both barrels every time we take him out. Because the devil goes around like a roaring lion. He's not looking. So he always picks off, just like lions, they pick off the old and the wounded first. Or, guess what they pick out next? The young and inexperienced. So you got all this energy, you're young, you're inexperienced. Guess what? Guess who's knocking at your door? Let me in. You're a little older? Or you suffering from a lack of gnosis? Guess who's knocking at your door? Yeah, they after you, brother, just in case you don't know. Because they want you to have and misdirect your energy. Number two, if you want to create a win-win situation for yourself and everybody else, everybody going to fall in love with you. Why? Because they're like, hey, I like that Brother Will, because every time he come around, I make money. I don't go on, when I do, I don't go to church that much, but when I do go, whoever birthday it is, I always make sure that I give them, $20. So the little kids in the church, man, they know, hey, birthday, wait, what's Brother Will? Because they know I'm going to give them some money. People should be looking for you like that. Are people looking for you? When you go somewhere, someone say, hey, where's that brother at, man? I like that brother. He always got something positive to say. Are you the kind of person that everybody looks like, oh, damn, there you go, dog. There you go, dog. Don't look at him. Don't look at him. That fool going to start talking, man. Go the other way. Are you that kind of person? Number two, focus on the solution, not the problem. Oh, man. Heavenly Father, touch your people. Number one, take your energy out, brother. Take it out of the goal. Make the goal. Take your energy away and put all of your energy into accomplishing the goal. I want to write a book. That's my goal, right? So I'm going to write a book, and I'm going to call you and say, hey, you're running back now. Sister Tammy's not on the line, I don't think, but Sister Tammy, she's no longer a part of, well, she's not part of this group. But I know Sister Tammy, man, she's high-spirited. I know she wouldn't mind me sharing this. She just published her first book. Now, I've been working with Sister Tammy for, about a year. The year that I published the book. And I remember I used to talk to her. I would call her. And I'd say, hey, Sister Tammy, how's that Brother Will? I had to do this. I had to do that. And she's a single mother, and it was just amazing. So she had the goal of writing a book, but she wasn't attached to the role. What is the role? Every day, write a paragraph at least. Every day, first of all, what's the book about? Right? Brother Will, I don't know. Okay, maybe we should start there. Okay, you got the title of the book? Absolutely. Now, let's write a topical outline. What topics are going to be in the book? So you got to attach to that. So make sure that you're doing things every day that attaches to the goal. So if your goal is to be wealthy, and I ask you, hey, what you do today for like with that one client, I got to stop. I can't talk about that. So if you're making a goal, whether it's wealthy, healthy, wise, great relationship, but you're not doing nothing every day, that means you're attached to the goal, but all your energy is into getting there, but you're not doing nothing to get you there. Put all of your energy into doing stuff that take you in the direction of your goal, number one. Guaranteed, you're going to win, and everybody that knows you and that's around you is going to win. You're creating a win-win situation. Number two, focus on the solution. So if on a behavioral level, because, again, your emotions control your behavior, and your behavior is suspect, that means that speech talk, which I call self-talk, that we're talking about with people who suffer from ADHD. Now, if you like me and you got ADHD, you got a problem in this area. Because what we do is our energy is so high, our expectations is so high, we expect perfection of ourselves. And we expect perfection of everybody else. So we project our spirit onto other people. So people sense our urgency by how fast we walk. You can see a perfectionist because that fool is always walking fast. He's always talking fast. Let me slow down. I'm giving away myself. So a perfectionist, he talks fast. He's walking fast. He's always twitching. He's always, that fool can't sit still. Man, I got to stop talking about myself. And then my speech is either really aggressive or really, woe is me, nobody loves me but Jesus. That's that perfection coming out. Because why? I got a conflict. I got a cognitive dissonance. My brain says, I want to write a book with zero errors. But my reasoning logic said, fool, you are functionally illiterate. You can barely read and write. So your expectations are not realistic. So I have to focus on the solution. So what is the solution to me writing a book with no errors? Maybe I should hire a freaking editor and let them edit. Maybe I should get a program that has a freaking spell checker on it and put my book in there, run a spell checker through it. There are things that I can do to remove the problem that is creating the anxiety, but me, nah. I'm a sabotage my own success because deep down inside, I have a problem that says that core imprint, Negro, you're not worthy. Who are you talking about? You're going to be a published author. Anybody going to read your book? So I'm going to make sure nobody read it unconsciously by putting errors in it. So in order for me to overcome, I got to focus on the solution. If I already know I got problems in the English language, I should take precautions to prevent the situation that causes me to act out. If I want to create, if I want to win, I want to win. I don't know about y'all. Why would I write a book that I don't want to sell? But if I write a book, I'm writing a book and I don't do the things that make the book successful, and then somebody criticizes me about the fact that there's errors in the book. And then I'm going to go off, oh, that sorry mother. Man, meet me in the parking lot, dude. Dude, you knew there was errors in the book. You better get reading right. Maybe you should hire somebody that got an English major to assist you. So let me make sure y'all understand what I'm saying. You're going through life, and you know that you're at a job. Or you're doing something, and you know that this something is a challenge. Whatever it is, brothers and sisters, you got to take your emotions out of it first because you already know. Something is going to trigger. You got a good coping mechanism, but something's going to trigger. So you got to focus all of your energy on the solution, all of it. Why? You bring about what you think about. So since you think negatively, guess what you're bringing about? Negative. You have to, brothers and sisters, if you want to win in life, if I want to create a successful marriage, I cannot focus on the problems in my marriage. So when I came back, I told myself, I don't give a beep what goes on, quote unquote, I don't like. Because you know the stuff the problems in my marriages, I mean, I got major problems, brother. I got major problems. You know what? My major problems is one of my children might leave their shoe in the hallway. Oh, man, that's like World War III right there. I'm ready to burn this mother down. A freaking shoe in the hallway. What? Y'all don't even know. Y'all better call somebody. I'm ready to go off. I'm ready to hurt somebody because of one shoe. And, oh, don't leave a dish in the sink. Oh, man. What? I make non-issues into freaking mind-blowing issues. There's like 15 cops over here because there's a shoe left in the hallway. Because I'm a perfectionist, and then you better be perfect. Now, I'm not perfect, but you better be. I can't win like that. So I told myself, boy, sit down. Now, I leave my shoes in the hallway. So I made a point. Even when me and my wife first met. Now, this is me. This is what I did. Now, I can bring my children on for my first marriage, and they will all tell you. Because they tell me all the time, Dad, we do not know who you are anymore. Why? Because they said every sacred call you had with us, you violating now. Like, damn straight. Because if it didn't work the first time, you think I'm going to do it the second time? Like, I'm slow, but I ain't that slow. So I'm not going to repeat the same thing. I'm focusing on solutions. And brothers and sisters, guess what happens? If you focus on the solution, guess what happens? You be the solution. Now, that is the secret to everything in life. I got a lot of secrets. But one of the secrets for me that have worked and changed my life. Now, I talked about Dale Rutherford, who has a book entitled Being the Solution. And this is where I learned this from. So I got to give him, I got to give props. I got to give credit what credit due. The guy came again, an older white guy. When I met him, he was like 80. So, woo, he knocking on 90, probably 100 by now. And I think he's still around. Dale Rutherford has a great book called Being the Solution. You see, every time you catch yourself or anybody that you with, in my case, if I'm in a relationship, so me and my wife, so every time me or my wife, anytime we start straying from the solution finding process. Now, the solution finding process is what I'm talking about today. Number one, take your energy out of the goal. If me and my wife have a goal to go on, as a matter of fact, which we do, God, we're going on a cruise this year. So that's the goal. So we take our energy out of the goal, and now we put our energy into the role. How do we get there? Okay, money. So the role that we're going to do is we're going to be workers to set aside money to go on a cruise. So what is the solution so that way we can avoid not making the goal? Okay, we write a plan. Okay, however much time we have from today until it's time to get on that or to pay the ticket for the cruise, we need to divide that up. We need to make up a plan so that way we know how much money we need to set aside, and we focus and we put all of our energy, because that's the solution. So the solution finding process means that you bring the focus and the conversation back to the goal. Now, people make goals all the time. They never talk about them. And then when the time to implement the goal shows up, then they want to have a conversation. Oh, nah, bro, too late now. You should have had that conversation 6 months ago. But now that the goal is here, you're not going to win. So now, if you want to win, now winning to me means accomplishing the goal. That's my demo. I guess I should have clarified that up front. So let's go back. Winning means that I get to accomplish my goals in the areas of wealth, health, wisdom, and relationship. So if my goal, which it is to make sure that I get my toes curled every night. I'm just playing, baby. Just make sure that I got a great relationship. Let's put it that way. Then what am I doing? Okay, well, this morning I got my dark behind up. Took my wife to work. I'm going to pick her up. While she was at work, I went just riding around. We do some stuff on the fence. My wife been asking me for over a year. So guess what? Today, I'm going to be a fence, but I ain't put a fence up in my life. But guess what? I'm going to put one up today. Why? I got to impress my wife. Y'all don't understand. Man, I'm telling you, when the brother's motivated, shit, we can do great things. Then I went and brought my wife like this certain kind of water. So, baby, guess what? I got waiting for you when we get home. See, I'm focused, brother. I don't know what y'all playing. This is not a game. So what am I doing? What am I saying? I'm creating a win. If I want a good relationship, brothers and sisters, I got to put energy in the freaking relationship. Now, for 8 years, what was I been doing? I was her life coach. So I put energy into being her life coach. That's why the relationship wasn't working. Now, I could tell her what to do. Babe, there's a shoe over there. Babe, 6 o'clock. Where's my food? Babe, I've been the best night, mate. Oh, yeah, I was good at pointing out directions and stuff. Now, did I put any energy in to create a win-win situation? Nope. I just sit on the sideline. I was one of those, what they call armchair quarterbacks. Always had something to say, but wasn't in the game. That was me. That dog don't hunt, as I found out. So now, what I do, brothers and sisters, which I highly recommend in your life, in the areas of wealth, health, wisdom, and relationships, is for you, my brothers, for you, my sisters, is to focus on the solution finding process, because sometimes you don't know the solution. Now, my solution finding process, I made a goal. Now, this works for me. This is all I do every day. I make a goal, and after I make that goal, I say, Father, now I don't say this verbally, I write it down. And I put it somewhere where I can see it every day. If you come into my bedroom, you look on my board, and you see my goals on there. In the area that I'm working on right now, on my thing, I have the word attunement. And right underneath it, I have 25 and 2017. Now, I know what that means. Everybody else don't. That's how you want it. You don't want to write on your wall so everybody come into your house or come into your space and they look at it, because the first thing they're going to say is, oh, you can't do that. You think you're going to make how much money? You can't do that. That's too much money. So you don't write it. You put it in the code so that way you and the big G knows, or you and your spouse knows, so that a positive energy goes into it because you wrote it down. Take the vision. Write it down so that those that read it can run with it. So I'm sitting here at my computer right now, and I look up, and I see 25 and 2017. Yeah, let's get busy, homie. Let's make it happen. And then I look to my right, and I see this thing over here that says 2017, provide and protect. Let's make it happen. Then I look over here, and I see number one, and I got my wife's name up there. And then underneath that, I see the word house. Then I see the word car. Then I see the word cruise. Then I see the word fish. Then I see the word pool. Then I see all of this stuff that I got written down that nobody knows what the hell it means but me and my wife. And guess what we're going to do? We're going to make it happen, brother. We're going to make it happen, sister, because we got a solution-finding process. Because the Creator says, if you take the vision and you write it down, he's going to give you the energy to run to accomplish the vision. Now, that's only if you want to win. If you don't want to win, I don't suggest you do those things. But if you want to win, my brother, if you want to win, my sister, I suggest you put your energy into doing the things that take you in the direction of the goal. That is the process of finding the solution. See, this is crazy. The universe only responds to a made-up mind. Now, I've been saying this since I was 8, when I finally figured out that every time I say something with a very passion, and if you can work up a couple of tears too, it happens. I went all through my life, and every time I've said it, it's something with emotion. I used to do it. I didn't even know. And I started going back and analyzing my life, and then I saw something. I saw number three. Number one, take the energy out of the goal. Make the goal. Put it somewhere where you can see it. And then take all of your energy out and put it into the role. Number two, focus on the solution, not the problem. You have to be the solution. Notice I said be, not do. I said that on purpose. Be the solution. Don't do the solution. What does that mean? Maintain a mental disposition. If you put it in your brain, it has to manifest in your life. It has to. Why? God honors his word above your name. Now, brothers and sisters, let me make sure you understand, because according to Hebrews chapter 11, it says that the worlds were framed by the word. Now, let me make sure you understand, my brothers and sisters, because number one, you have to make sure that the win-win situation that you are creating, that the goal that you have, everybody wins. Everybody that's involved in the goal. So I have to make sure, like, when we go on, like, the goal, we're going on a cruise. So I have to make sure that the guy who's at the travel agent, I got to make sure he wins. So I got to make sure that if there's a sale, if the travel agent say, hey, when you call back, you're like a salesperson, make sure you ask for me. So I got to make sure everybody wins. So I'm cognitive of everybody that's involved in this situation. And that's part of the solution-finding process. I'm bringing focus. I'm bringing discipline. I'm bringing order to my goal. And then number three, this is a big one. I have to have clarity of context. Now, in order for everybody to win, somebody has to be contextually accurate. Context. Now, I've been talking about clarity a lot because that's the definition of the word focus. I've been also talking about how that clarity makes you competent or gives you competence, which gives you confidence, which makes you certain. And if we talk about context, in order to win, you have to know the context. Now, the word context means parts of a written or spoken agreement. Now, brothers and sisters, if you want to destroy wealth, if you want to destroy health, if you want to destroy wisdom, if you want to destroy a relationship, take what I said or take what your wife said out of context. Don't believe me? Try it.
Dr. Spann will tell you don't do that one. So if you want to start an argument, talk to your significant other and take something that they say out of context. Now, me and my wife, we struggled with this one a little bit. We've gotten a lot better. But my wife would say something because my wife is not a talker. Remember, my wife is a master builder. She's the master number 22. So my wife don't talk, according to my definition. Now, nobody talks as much as me. Nobody on earth. I ain't met nobody yet. Well, maybe my sister Linda. She can talk too. But this is my wife, and I just joke with her all the time. So she come up and says, "Hey, babe, how was church? Great. What was the sermon about? Oh, he preached about Lazarus." And then there's a pause. Because I know she's going to give me more meat, right? And that's it. That's all you're getting. And so I'll say, "So, yeah, she's talking about how John the Baptist raised Lazarus from the dead or something like that." I'll take what she said out of context. And he said, "Now, boy, you just took your dog behind the church. You would have heard the message for yourself." Now, that's just an example. But that's what I'm saying. In order to create a win-win situation for everybody, everybody has to know the context of the agreement. Now, people's definitions and terms are different. That's the problem. So I can say the sky is blue. Your definition of blue, my definition of blue is different. I can say, you can ask me, "Hey, what kind of day was it?" And I can say, "Man, it was kind of warm today." Now, you're from Chicago. I'm from South Texas. I'm just using that as an example. And you say that the day was warm. For you, warm is like 65 degrees. For me, warm is like 90. So I'm going to take what you said. I'm going to say, "Man, brother, what's the name said that it was 90 degrees in Chicago?" You say, "Dude, I didn't say that." "Yes, you did. I just asked you how warm it was. What kind of day was going on in Chicago? You said it was warm." "Yeah, but it wasn't no 90 degrees warm." "Well, I'm from Texas. It's warm." So you see what I'm saying? People take what people say out of context. Because the context, the contextual agreement, if me and you, like, this is a biggie. That's why I had you guys sign and date a coaching agreement. Because situations have happened. Well, y'all think I'm doing a show. Creating winning situations. Remember I told you guys the other day about that client that I was talking to? We on show 30-something, and I asked him, "Hey, how's the show going? We're doing our one-on-one." "Yeah, I've listened to about 10 shows. Excuse me? "Yeah, I'm busy, dude. You know, I got around and listened to about 10 shows. Well, you know, we done about 35 shows already. So you done any assignments?" "No, man, I ain't got time." "So, I ask people to, send back, email me back. You know, I've asked different questions. And so if you listen to the shows, you would know that. But, we're going to bring that up. But, so when you going to get around to listen to them?" "I get to it when I get to it, Doc." So at the end of the year, when everybody else got their niche and this person may not have theirs and everybody else is making money or everybody else has accomplished their goal and this person has not, first thing they're going to say is, "Man, that program didn't work for me, Doc. Can I get my money back?" And not happening. Why? The context. I said at the beginning of the program works if you work it. If you listen to every show, and if you do every assignment, and if you email it in, if the program don't work, I'll double your money back. Because I know it's impossible. Because God honors his word above his own name. Oh, I said I wasn't going to preach. Sorry about that, J Money. Let me make sure you understand, brothers and sisters. The context is so important. Because any conflict resolution starts by ensuring that both parties agree to the terms of the contract. So instead of fighting, instead of
ego and arrogance, state the goal situation clearly. Now, explore all of the context and options of the goal before pursuing the goal. Now, but if I had done this, how do you think I learned these three steps? Because I didn't do them. Therefore, I needed a conflict resolution specialist. That's why I'm encouraging Dr. Spann to go into that. Brothers and sisters, the word context is any verbal or written. Notice it could be written or non-written. If me and you agree, and if we agree upon something verbally, if I'm a smart guy, which I am now, I am going to make specific definitions or a specific text structured. Meaning I'm going to make sure that I explain, that I reveal, explain, illuminate, and simplify. What do you think I teach didactically? Because I've been in a lot of situations where parts of what was said was debated or challenged. I don't like that. I'm a perfectionist. I don't like to lose. I don't like when somebody comes up to me and say, "Hey, Brother Will, you said that, back in 325 A.D., there was a thing called a Council of Nicaea, but that never happened." Oh, man. Poof. I'm going to blow my cookies. Now, I'm going to be cool around you. Say, "Really, brother? No, brother, that didn't happen." "No, I'm pretty sure it happened, bro." "No, brother, I researched it. I looked it up, and, that did not happen." Now, let me give you more. Let's say that I do a show and I say that, hey, lions don't eat meat. And I preach and I'm always having them, I turn over the chairs, foam at the mouth, one of those messages that Brother J Money don't like. I'm throwing down, man. I mean, I'm foaming at the mouth. Fire brimstone type message. Lions don't eat meat. I got biological proof, scientific proof. I got scriptural evidence. I can break it down for you, brothers. And I'm yelling and screaming, "Lions don't eat meat." I'm going off the chain. And I think I'm right. In fact, because the size of my ego, as my wife can verify for you, I know I'm right. I mean, other than God, I ain't too bad. I mean, hey, my ego's up there. It's pretty big. But I failed to do didactic discourse. I failed. The word context means to weave together. The Bible talks about the husband and wife, they should leave and cleave. So the word context means to weave and cleave. It's the same word. It's to create a texture. It's almost the same word for marriage. So to create a win-win situation, two parties got to be married to the situation. Poof. The word context, C-O-N, again, it means the joining together, two becoming one. It means to weave together. So to create a win-win situation, we need to be together mentally, as in on the same page of the goal. So I'm a life coach. You sign a contract with me, at least the people that's part of the Clarinomics, that we were going to accomplish a goal. What was that goal? I asked you to write it down. I asked you to write down what the three things that you wish to accomplish. I asked you to write down, there's a question in there, how you like to be coached. All of these things in that contract, I hope you read before you signed it, because that's what I'm doing. Because we got a contract. We got an agreement. My goal is to take you to your role. Your role is your niche. Now, I can give you your role, but guess what? I can help you find your role because I understand, because I found mine. So I know what to look for, what not to look for. That's our agreement. Now, we can have agreements in a lot of different areas, too. Maybe you got a weight loss agreement. Not everybody in the program is interested in making money in their niche. For me, the most important part of this program is the niche. It's the Diakonia. That's what everything is based upon, the Diakonia report. So we have to make sure, brothers and sisters, that we are together when it comes to the goal. So in order for both parties to win, both parties got to expect the same thing. The reason in relationships, a lot of times, the relationship is not a win-win situation for both parties, because one party is expecting something to happen that the other party is not. In fact, I would put my money on the fact that that's all the time relationships don't talk. If you got a problem in your relationship, yeah, that's it. Guaranteed. Because I know whenever time I had a problem, you know, I was expecting my wife to do something. She was expecting me to do something else. The whole time I was married, especially before I had this epiphany a couple of months ago, and I was telling you guys the biggest mistake I made in my life. And it's crazy because I said it, but I didn't know what I was saying. When I met my wife, I said, yeah, I'm putting all my time and energy in becoming an online success. My wife said, baby, I'm going to create space for you. I'm going to hold down a house while you create your online success. How long do you think it's going to take? It should take me about a year, year and a half. I'm going to be a guru. She said, I can hold it down for that long, baby. So we agreed. 8 years later, my wife asked me to pay a bill. I almost lost it. That's how you destroy a relationship. So we agreed upon something, and we never came back and revisited it, talked about it. Nobody talked about it. Well, my wife brought it up. Let me rephrase that. But I didn't want to take off my hat because I was a life coach. Y'all don't understand. I was Master Teacher 33. I need somebody to kiss my ring finger, you know, bow down, give me some homage. That's the mindset I had. I was pissed off because I wasn't getting the homage, brother. I would come home and tell my wife, babe, I did a great show and read a great book. She's like, I'm not impressed. Why? My wife don't want no damn guru. She needs a husband. So unrealistic expectations, misplaced dependencies. I was depending upon my wife to do something, and I was expecting my wife to do something. That is not a win-win situation. Win-win situations is two people who are contextually equal. That means they both understand the context. They both have sit down and they understand the conditions and the circumstances that are relevant to the event, the goal, the conditions and the circumstances that are relevant, not the non-relevant. So don't spend time talking about non-issues. Come together, sit down, and talk about the conditions and the circumstances, the conditions and the circumstances that are relevant. That creates win-win situations. And in order to create a situation where you get, because again, God said, hey, honor my word above my own name. How can two walk together unless they agree? So the universe says, the universe, the big G, is telling you that you got to have this, brothers and sisters, you got to have this made up mind. If you don't have that, brothers and sisters, guess what's going to, hang on a second. If you don't have that, brothers and sisters, guess what? Nothing is going to work. Now, James says it this way. A double-minded man will not receive nothing. So if you're in a situation, now remember, a situation, you and two people agree. That means at that point, y'all become one in that situation. Tenant, landlord. You a tenant, they're a landlord. You come together, you sign a landlord or a contract. And both of y'all now come together in that situation. Tenant, landlord. If you violate the contract called a lease agreement, the landlord can evict you because of the fact that you are now double-minded. Now, the Bible says something very harsh about a double-minded person. That means that you don't understand the contract, the context of the contract. So James, and let's close with this, because we're over time. Yep. James chapter 1, verse 8 simply says this. Verse 7 says that a man should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Don't expect to receive anything. He is double-minded and unstable in all his ways. James 1:8. So, brothers and sisters, to create win-win situations. Number one, we said you got to take your emotions out. That's the only way you're going to win. Otherwise, you're going to get emotional. You're going to opt out. You're going to do something that's going to destroy the situation. Number two, you got to focus on the solution. That means basically focusing on your role. Focus on the thing that takes you in the direction of your goal. Number three, make sure that you understand the context. Everybody has both parties or all the people, because maybe there's more than two people. Everybody got to understand the context, which is like the contract. Otherwise, and remember this, James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. So when you come together, God is going to give you wisdom to accomplish your goal. Basically, is all it's saying. And it will be given unto you. Now, notice it says that if you lack, what's the requirements? Lacking wisdom. If you don't know what the solution is, and I've been doing this all my life. If you don't know what the solution is, that don't panic. If me and my wife got an issue, if we don't know what the solution is, as long as we are together, as long as we are one, God will give us the wisdom as to what to do. That's what the scripture says. So if you really, really, really understand what James is saying in verse 5, chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given unto you. Verse 6, but he must ask in faith. Number one, without doubting. Number two, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. So when we come together, we both got to understand the context. Because if we don't understand what we're doing, somebody's going to doubt that it's not going to work. And if you don't ask in faith without doubting, remember I told you guys at the beginning of this thing, I did a show called The Spirit or Your State of Expectation. That's what faith, asking in faith without doubting is. You got a spirit of expectation. And lastly, again, you must ask in faith without doubting, because he who doubts is like a wave tossed to and fro. The man should not expect to receive anything from God. Brothers and sisters, is it easy? Yes. Is it doable? Yes. But to win, to actually accomplish your goals in life, you need to make sure that, now, I'm already assuming that you understand by the definition of the word win that you have agreed upon or established a goal. So that was an assumption that I made. Number one, after you've established, okay, me and my wife, we've established we want to go on a cruise. Now, once we've established that, we've got the dates, we've got the time, we've checked it out, we say, okay, baby, let's do this. Once we got that established, both of us we get all excited, like, yeah, we're going to go to, and we say, cruise, 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 cruise. If we just do that for 6 months, when it's time to pay to go on the cruise, we were so, all of our emotion was in the goal. None of our emotion was in going to work, because you got to go to work to make the money to reach the goal. So if neither one of us attached to that goal, I mean, attached to the role that you got to play to get to the goal. We're going to be emotional. So number one, take your emotions out of the goal. Put your emotions into the role. Number two, focus on the solutions, not the problem. The problem is, oh, man, we ain't got no overtime to make extra money to go on the cruise. So what do? We focus on the solution. What is the solution? Make more money. How do we make more money? Me, I do more shows, write more books, bring in more clients. My wife, hey, she may work some extra overtime. Or, hey, my wife does a lot of things that she can do to bring in extra money as well. Whether it be something that she does at the church, whether it be something that she does, she's great as far as with all the lawn care stuff that does, which is crazy. But my wife actually likes working outside and working with her hands and stuff. So there's a lot of things that we can do. All we got to do is come together and focus on the solution. We don't get together and start arguing. Everybody, no, who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? No, we come together. We don't criticize each other. We focus on the solution. We put all of our energy into the solution. And then number three, we both understand the contract or the context of the contract, which is the agreement. We both understand the context, and we are practicing the solution-finding process every day. Brothers and sisters, that's how you win. Both parties win when both parties do those three steps. Brothers and sisters, thank everybody so much for joining me on today's show. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May his son bless you. His name is Yahushua. May the Ruach, this is the part one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because he will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Y'all need to wake up now, but know the same pyramid scheme. Like the police, yeah, I'm still on the scene. After I murdered and flee, reality, you wouldn't murder or flee. That's all truth if you heard it from me. Verbal or circle MCs, firmly a virtue, bring the world to its knees. So when I bless you, you should certainly sneeze. People don't purchase CDs, so I give it to them for free. Cause one bird in the house better than two in the tree. You still dreaming, thinking your career is something that's not. You kettle corn want something to pop. You still dreaming, pass a message if you run in the park. Tell a mama hold it down and hold you up like all the traffic just stopped. It's like some people, it's like I let the sample sing to you. The truth is in the words, but it's all a dream to you. Or maybe your inception, Leonardo speak to you. DiCaprio tell you that you might snap out the acting, yo. You going up to get out of that shell like pistachios. So quit dreaming. Quit dreaming. 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams stay dreams, some dreams come true. A 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams stay dreams, some dreams come true. You just, it's just, I see. Yeah.